Who's that?
It's that time of year again, boys. For your hosts, AJ Corrali and Jim McCabe. AJ, welcome your future fans.
What's up, Jimmy? How you doing?
And we are the Fantasy Fools. We're going to be talking about daily fantasy sports as well as standard PPR, half point PPR. You got it. We got it down. This is the pilot segment, so it's going to be a little shaky for us. We got Fat Boy Productions and Dave Buckley. Dave, say hello to your fans.
What's good?
Sponsored by ShopRite of Washington Township, South Jersey native. And this is your rundown for today's show. We have host introductions, Jim McCabe, AJ Ferrari, a little experience, what we've been through the last 10 years of fantasy sports. Our future segments, including Battle of the Bats, Fool's Gold, which is your Bust of the Week, and Buckley's Blunders, which is Fat Boy Productions' Worst Picks of the Week as well. We're also going to go through my rankings, just quarterback and running back, and AJ's thoughts on those. He has not seen those personally. Our Twitter handles, and a mini preview of Battle of the Bats, including Leonard Fournette and Joe Mixon. So a couple of rookies to round off the pilot segment. AJ, start off the introductions. Introduce yourself.
So, guys, this is AJ, playing fantasy football for about 10 years now. Have a little experience myself, you know. I'm pretty good. So, yeah, we're going to take you guys. I'm nervous, dude. I'm nervous. I don't know what to say.
Oh, you're fine.
I'm nervous.
All right. So, basically, what we're going to do for you guys is what this podcast is going to entail. Our personal league, which is Township Premier League, it's a 12-team half-point PPR league. AJ is a, what, three-time champion?
Yeah, three-time. Should be four.
Three-time champion.
Tim Tebow cost me that one.
We've had the league for what now, 10, 11 years?
Yeah, I don't remember.
About 10, 11 years.
High school, probably.
All right, big payout league, $350 buy-in. So throughout the year, this is going to be a weekly podcast. All right, so weekly podcast, usually going to run on Wednesday or Thursday for waiver pickups, past week, post-game, and so on and so forth. So basically, today, all right, with our future segments, Battle of the Backs. This is going to be a segment throughout camp that we're going to do, kind of stealing it from Battle of the Bastards from Game of Thrones, but that's okay. So Battle of the Backs, we're going to go team by team and go through the backfield battles who might come out on top in camp, some sleepers that might come out on top of camp, and especially in a half-point or PPR league, you're going to want to know those, what I like to call the catch-and-release guys that are going to get you those garbage-time points, especially during your bye weeks. And we're going to get into that, especially during the quarterback or, and running back rankings. So, with that being said, all right, we're going to go into the ranking. We're going to jump right into the rankings real quick. As of right now, we're going to just do the quarterback rankings, and then as so on and so forth, we'll go into the running back. Now, AJ, for my 1 through 5, I've only did a list of 1 through 14 for the quarterbacks, and running backs I did a 1 through 25. And again, this is for a half-point PPR league. We'll get into more detail after the pilot podcast as far as next week, especially after the first week of games, and I guess it'll be the second week of camp. Also, before we jump into it, as far as personal teams, I'm an Eagles fan / Bucks fan. I'm willing to admit that 1A, 1B team. AJ?
Hey, I root for the Los Angeles Rams, guys. Been a tough 15 years, but we're on our way back with Goff, Gurley, Cooper Kupp. I'm saying 7-8 wins next year. I started off with McVay.
7-8 wins and 7-8 wins for the Eagles, possibly 10 for the Bucks. We'll see. Division's pretty bad. So we shall see. All right, so we're going to jump right into the quarterback rankings as far as as of right now, and again, this is a little shaky, especially with the running back rankings coming up. It's going to be a little shaky and definitely going to change, especially week to week. As far as quarterback rankings, obviously my 1 and 2s are the two GOATs, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. No question there. Now, I mixed it up a little bit with 3, 4, and 5. I actually jumped Matt Ryan into Drew Brees. I jumped Matt Ryan 3, Brees 4. What are your thoughts on that, AJ?
You know, Brees has AP and Ingram there now. They're going to start trying to run the ball a little more, I think, with Brees getting older. A little worried about Matt Stafford without Kyle Shanahan, but they have all that explosive offense. They have Julio, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Taylor Gabriel, you know, all those guys. Even people are talking about the tight end Hooper this year, thinking he's going to have a pretty solid year. So we'll see how everything goes, but I don't mind those rankings.
Speaking of Devontae Freeman, he just got a new deal today. What do you think about that as far as guaranteed? What was it, 5 years, $44 million, 22 guaranteed?
I mean, yeah, he deserves it, man. Showed in the Super Bowl, he played really well. Played really well the last 2 years, 1,000 yards over the last 2 years. So, I mean, can't really complain. He's probably the third or fourth best back in the league, I would say, so he deserves that.
Now, do you think him and Coleman are going to have the same split as last year? Does the money change anything, or does the offense change as far as... Because in my mind, it kind of tells me Coleman might have less of a role now that Freeman's getting paid. Or could it impact the other way and say, all right, Coleman's more hungry. Could Coleman have the better year?
I mean, I don't know how this new offensive coordinator is going to be using all his players. Kyle Shanahan was so good at getting everybody involved and getting everybody where they were best suited to succeed on the field. You know, but I think the split might be a little bit more than it was last year, just because I don't know if they're going to want to put all that shit on Freeman until the end of the year.
All right, fair enough. So now this is where it gets fishy as far as my rankings. Jump back into the quarterback rankings. I love Roethlisberger this year. I think he's a top five quarterback, ahead of Luck, ahead of Wilson, ahead of Stafford, and ahead of Carr. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, Luck is a little bit down on everybody's board because of the shoulder injury that's going on right now. Big Ben, I mean, a lot of his stats rely on whether Martavius is there or not. His drop-off with Martavius when he is there or not there is, like, ridiculous. But if he can stay healthy, which has been a problem with him throughout his career, but if he can stay healthy, he should be top four, top five quarterback. I can agree with that. Russell Wilson's a little shaky this year. You know, he kind of dropped off a little bit with his rushing, and he's going to need to get that back if he wants to get back into the top five, top four range.
And you know what kills me about Russell Wilson, and everybody gets tested this. You know what kills me about Russell Wilson? His first three games of the year usually are stiffs. And you know, if you haven't noticed that the last 3 years? He usually struggles the first three games of the year. Usually, the team in general struggles. The offense isn't where it needs to be, and then usually the back end of the year is when he makes up his points, and that's when he dips himself back into the top 10.
Well, the offense is going to be a lot different this year with Lacy. You never know. Lacy, yeah. Prosize, M. Rawls are all there. So hey, you never know, man. They could be back to that running team that they were when they had Marshawn a couple years ago, and they were that Super Bowl formula, just making Russell game manage. He makes his plays, but if he's a good game manager, they can make it really far.
Speaking of Lacy, Prosize, and Rawls. That is definitely going to be a battle of the backs that we'll be talking about throughout camp. It's going to be interesting to see how they disperse carries and such, because I don't see Lacy being much of a
pass catcher. Yeah, I agree. So,
but I mean, I can definitely see Rawls backdooring his way into seeing some carries.
Yeah, 100%, dude, 100%. I think they like Prosize, though, too. So we'll see how that ends up. Like you said, it's going to be crazy down there in Seattle. See what happens.
Exactly, especially Rawls. He's another guy who can't stay healthy. He freaks an ankle or two. All right, so... Moving on. So, right in that range, like we just discussed Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr. Do you think Derek Carr repeats what he did last year, especially with Cooper and Crabtree? Because they had great years last year as far as Cooper and Crabtree.
I mean, yeah, they did. Everyone's picking them as that dark horse team to take that next step up, go pretty far in the playoffs. Derek Carr's obviously going to be a big reason for that. Thing that it's a little nervous about Derek Carr this year is the addition of Marshawn. I think that they're going to try to not throw as much. Obviously, try to get Marshawn like 200, 250, in between 200 and 250, I'd say, 225, somewhere around those carries. I like Crabtree a little bit more than Cooper, only because people, for some reason, Carr just loves Crabtree. He scores all the touchdowns. Cooper has those big bust games where he breaks out. But he had a lot of games last year where he had like 7, 6, 8 points. You know, you don't really want those games. So I think Crabtree's going to be more consistent, but I think Carr's going to have a top 10 quarterback year. I can't really give him top 5 yet because I haven't seen enough, but top 10 solid for him.
Now, you think Crabtree's more consistent, yet the average draft position for Cooper is, I think, 2 rounds ahead of him. So that's interesting to see enough. But like you said, the breakout game's kind of like Julio-esque.
Oh, yeah. Julio-esque. Well, I mean, Julio had that crazy year last year, too, where he was getting single-digit points, and then he'd break out for the 30,
the
25.
Game.
Yeah, exactly.
The 300-yard game, yeah, exactly. And we have those type of players. Now, this is where I think it's a crapshoot. 10 through 14, I think it's a crapshoot, listed on my list. And this is in this order: Cousins, Winston, Newton, Mariota, Tyrod Taylor. And hate to say this because I'm not a Tyrod guy. Tyrod was pretty good last year as far as fantasy is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, his legs give him that extra, like, 4 or 5 points on the ground that really help. Occasional touchdown, he can maybe get up to 20 for you some games. Jameis, I'm very high on this year. I think he takes the real big jump. And then I think he had 28 touchdowns last year. I think he takes a jump to around like 30, 40 this year. I think they're going to let him throw the ball out, especially with Deshaun and O.J. Howard. I really do like him this year. Who else was on that list?
They're very solid as far as going, staying on Winston. Very solid as far as even with your slot guy. They have a Cole Beasley-esque and Chris Humphreys.
Adam Humphreys.
Adam Humphreys. I'm sorry. Chris Humphreys was a basketball player. I apologize. Adam Humphreys, O.J. Howard, even Cameron Brates. You got two solid tight ends, two stud receivers, and a good slot receiver. I mean, I can see the offense jumping as far as what you were saying. And that's Cam Newton, Mariota, Tyrod Taylor. Those three are kind of like the same quarterback, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, Mariota, he's a little like – I don't know. He's really good, but he doesn't put up like the stats every week. That offense is a little like shaky with the DeMarco and Derrick Henry little backfield they got going there with the running game. Cam really took a step back last year from the 35 touchdowns in 2015. I mean, I think he got to like 19 touchdowns or something. And he's just got to, if you want Cam's value to come back, you got to hope he just starts running again, dude. Because without him running, he's not going to be having these 3-4 touchdown throw games, especially with McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart there now.
Were the hits too much of an impact on him last year? Because he got beat up last year.
I mean, yeah, the line wasn't that great, but I don't know. I just think they didn't really want him running as much because of the injury factor of him getting hurt. And if he gets hurt, Derek Anderson ain't coming in and doing anything for them. So, I mean, I think this year, after the step back last year for them, they're just going to say screw it and just let him go because they got to let him be Cam. Cam is Cam, you know what I mean? You can't just expect him to change the way he plays and just become a pocket passer when he's in the NFL.
And that's just not going to happen. That's why I have them kind of neck and neck, Newton and Mariota. One, they can't really stay healthy. And two, they can have some pretty bad games.
Oh, yeah, but they can have some monster games if they get the rushing. Yeah, so that's what you're hitting.
It's kind of a matchup play.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you're going outside the top 10. I mean, you're pretty much going a week by week.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, agreed.
So, all right, so we're going to jump into the running backs. Again, this is based off half-point PPR just for this segment alone. Obviously, outside my top three, which is going to be your standard Le'Veon, David Johnson, Zeke, the McCoy, Melvin Gordon. Does Melvin Gordon repeat his touchdown numbers he did last year? Or not repeat, but come close to it.
Yeah, I think he's a top five fantasy back this year. Rivers, I mean, they're going to move the ball with Tyrell Williams, Keenan coming back healthy. Hunter Henry, a lot of people like him. I know it sucks about Mike Williams being out for the year, but I still think they got enough offensive firepower.
Tyrell Williams.
Yeah, I think they still got enough offensive firepower to get Melvin Gordon his like 8 to 10 touchdowns, and he's going to catch the ball. They really don't have anybody else at the running back position, so he'll be running routes out of the backfield. I think he's a top five back if he stays healthy this year, easy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Just simply based off the fact that they stink.
And
they play in a tough division. Rivers can put up points, especially in garbage time, and usually who is a beneficiary of that is the running back. They will hand the ball four times on the goal.
Oh, yeah.
And they've done that in the past plenty of times. I mean, God, Daniel Woodhead was getting goal line carries last year. I mean, we had a guy in the league, John Schrumpf. He's also part of the Township Premier League. He was starting actually both of them per week.
Before he tore his ACL. But, hey, might have worked out for him because who would have known if they both would have worked out. Melvin Gordon went on a tear after that happened. So
Exactly. And then to round it off, Devontae Freeman 6, JGIG 7. And this is where it kind of gets hairy for me. I got Gurley, Murray, Fournette, Lamar Miller, Jordan Howard. I mean, it's a crapshoot. Crowell.
Jordan Howard kind of low there, dude.
I do have Jordan Howard kind of low. I kind of bumped him out where he's actually been going. Because outside of, I mean, there's no real consistency going back from last year outside of Murray. And I have Gurley kind of high. I kind of think Gurley has a bounce back year. You're a Rams fan. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, dude, it's no secret Gurley has a lot of talent, but we all know what his fantasy value relies on, and that's Jared Goff. And I don't know how much stock you want to put in this guy after the year he had last year. The offense has changed. The offensive line has got better with the addition of Whitworth and Sullivan playing center. He came over from the Redskins to help McVay install the offense. Gurley, I'm just worried about him catching the ball out of the backfield. I know Lance Dunbar is like supposed to be our, I guess you could say, play the Chris Thompson role.
Oh, he had about 40 catches.
But yeah, but he hurt his knee early in camp. They're saying he always gets hurt. And Malcolm Brown, they said he has the second spot locked up right now. If Gurley can catch the ball, I mean, you just got to hope he can find the holes because there was nothing for him last year. He was getting hit behind the backfield. He missed some holes last year, though, but I think he could be he's definitely a prime-time bounce-back candidate.
Yeah, I think that might have something to do with schematically. I mean, they were never on the same page last year. So no. That offense was a mess.
I mean, Jeff Fisher was here. Fisher, yeah. Ball.
Exactly. So now, especially we have a keeper league, unfortunately, but in a standard league where regular draft, are you taking a chance on Murray late first, early second?
I mean, Derrick Henry's really scary, but I don't think they're going to just abandon that run game with that offensive line. I think they're going to just try to make Mariota is what he is, make him a little bit more than a game manager, but mostly like a high-end game manager, I think. And I think they're just going to feed Henry and DeMarco. If DeMarco can stay healthy, he's going to be not what he was last year, I wouldn't say, because I think Henry's going to come a little bit more into the splits. But I think DeMarco could have a pretty decent year, like top 15, top 10, which is fine for where you're taking him if you're taking him there.
And we're going to skip Leonard because we're obviously going to talk about Leonard later. Now, Lamar Miller, not high on that guy, not high on him at all. I mean, God, last year, I think, what was it, through 6 weeks, he had the highest volume based on any running back throughout the league without scoring a touchdown, which is pretty incredible, I think, in the last 30 years. So, just personally, I have a vendetta against that guy. I'm not touching him this year, and I don't see it getting any better as far as the quarterback play. But you seem to be okay with Savage being the quarterback of that team. You think Lamar Miller benefits, or...
I mean, he obviously doesn't benefit from Tom Savage. I think he can – I mean, he has talent, the guy. But the quarterback – running backs in bad quarterback situations are I try to stay away from if I can. I do think Lamar Miller can have a really good year if he can stay healthy. But like you said, last year he just couldn't get it going. He couldn't score. But they fed him the ball. I think they're going to do it again. I don't think they like Alfred Blue. And this guy Foreman seems to be screwing up a little bit. So I don't know, man. I do like Lamar Miller, but I don't know if I would be all right with him being my RB1. I think I would have to take him as my RB2 if I'm going to draft him.
Now, Lamar Miller, Howard, Crowell, who's your best out of those three?
Howard, Crowell. Howard, Crowell, Miller. Yeah, I think Crowell, they got a good offensive line, and they're going to use him. He's going to catch, too. But what they've been saying about David Johnson, he's going to play out the slot. So I think Crowell's going to be there by himself, can catch and run. I mean, he had some good games last year, and they spent a lot of money on the offensive line. So I think he's actually going to be all right this year.
Yeah, just from what I've been reading, I think Duke Johnson's going to be more of that offense than people think as far as on the passing game. But if he's going to be the first and second down back, early down back, then he might be able to break something. But moving on, back on Jordan Howard. Is that offense good enough that you trust him?
I mean, look, I'm a big Mike Lennon guy. I had him. I didn't have him in fantasy. I had Vince Jackson a couple of years ago, and he was on Tampa Bay. And Mike Lennon actually looked all right. I think he's actually going to be able to move the ball a little bit. The thing that scares me with them is obviously is that they're probably a bottom five team in the NFL, obviously. And the quarterback situation, you don't know how that's going to go. They play in a pretty, I'd say, the division's like not hard, but it's pretty,
good. You play a top five defense twice.
Yeah. Minnesota, yeah. Green Bay, and Detroit. I'm just worried about the Bears getting down early in games and having to abandon the run game a little bit, which could easily happen. But he catches the ball, so... he should be fine either way. His ceiling just depends on how good the Bears actually are, I think.
Now, this is where it gets interesting with Carlos Hyde. He's in the middle of the pack guy. Everybody's top 15 in running backs. What's going on with him? Because I don't see it.
I'm a no.
I don't see it. Especially what the kind of running scheme they want to do, their zone scheme kind of offense. And especially with Carlos Hyde, he's more of a downhill runner. He's not a stretch and find a hole.
Well, and the Brian Hoyer playing quarterback, they don't really have a lot of offensive weapons. I know they brought over Shanahan, but it's going to take Shanahan. It's not going to be a 1 year turnaround. He's not going to come in and just flip it with the talent that he has. He's going to try to get his quarterback next year. I think if Kirk Cousins doesn't work out in Washington, who knows? Maybe he goes to San Fran. That's been rumored for the last couple of years. I think Carlos Hyde. You should stay away from him unless you're getting him at a really, really good price, because I just don't think the Niners are going to be any good, and the offense isn't going to be some powerhouse where he's going to get a lot of – he probably is going to get a lot of carries, but he's not going to have a lot of scoring opportunities.
And like we said, if you're going to get him at the right price, I think that's when you take a chance on him, especially if you're looking – if you're sitting there in the third, fourth round, and you're looking at Carlos Hyde. Again, this is fresh draft. Carlos Hyde, Ingram, Spencer Ware, Tevin Coleman. Dalvin Cook, Gillislee, I'm probably going to take a chance.
I mean, well, all those other guys are like, in, well, they have a lot. They have competition there with them, a lot of them.
I couldn't agree more. So now we're going, moving on. I'm going 15, 16, 17, 18, which is going to actually have two rookies in there. I'm sure you're going to know which rookies they are. In this order, Ty Montgomery, Marshawn, Beast Mode's back, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon. Now, with Ty Montgomery, and we've talked about this before, I think he's going to be all right once camp comes out, but we're going to talk about him with ballot backs probably next week after we see more of a after we see a play tomorrow night as far as how they use forget the guy's name, but how they use the rookie
there. Isn't it Joe Williams? Is it Dante?
Oh, Jamal Williams.
Jamal Williams.
How they use Jamal Williams from BYU.
Packers?
Jamal Williams from BYU tomorrow, because from what they've said, he's just been struggling a little bit with pass pro.
Which, yeah, you know that's not going to fly.
That's not going to fly on any team. If you can't block pass pro,
you ain't playing.
You're not playing. It doesn't matter who you are. But they like him as a runner. They like him as a pass catcher. We've seen him last year. He had some breakout games. Sometimes he has seven catches playing running back.
Yeah.
That's huge in a half-point PPR, let alone a full-point PPR league. Are you taking Ty Montgomery over Marshawn and Joe Mixon?
Joe Mixon, I think, wins that job. I don't know right out of camp. Yeah. But I am not a Geo and Jeremy Hill believer. I'm just not. I just don't think they're good, to be honest with you.
On the same page on that one. Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Mixon, I mean, he's got all the features. Everyone knew that he had the features to be a three-down back. He could be a star in this league. But we all know why his stock dropped during the NFL draft. We don't have to go over that. As is Marshawn, there's been reports out of camp about them liking Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. Everyone remembers this from last year as well. You don't know which one is going to come out on top there, but there's also said that they're going to try to limit his carries because, I mean, he's been on a football for 2 years, so he could wear on him, but I don't know how that's going to work out. I'd probably take Marshawn, though. Marshawn and Mixon over Ty Montgomery. I just don't think that Packers offense is ever going to be revolved around a running back enough to make them put up fantasy numbers like Oakland's or Cincinnati's could.
Because Oakland's offense high-powered as is. That's why it's kind of hard to take Marshawn because you're sitting there and you're like, all right, the guy hasn't played for 2 years. Is he gonna be rusty? Is he gonna be losing a step? And you kind of sit there and you're like, all right, well, the offense is good enough
to where he can
still get those goal line carries. Yeah, he can still get those goal line carries. He can still get 10 to 15 carries a game and still get, you know, 70, 80 yards a game and two touchdowns. So it makes you wonder. But especially in our league, he's going to go pretty early.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in our league, he's going like second, early, third. Because, I mean, the keepers in our league, we'll tell you guys more about it later, they're ridiculous. There's like, I think like five or six top 25 players being kept. And two of those players are David Johnson and Odell Beckham. So you can only imagine how this draft is going.
Exactly. So and new draft leagues, I mean, he's going to probably go third, fourth round.
And that's
relatively high for a guy coming off 2 years, but he's got a brand name.
Yeah, exactly. It's the name. A lot of people are going to fall for the name. And, I mean, hey, if you draft him, I hope he bounces back for you. I mean,
it's kind of worth the risk in a sense. So now you have C.J. Anderson. This is 19, 20, 21, 22. C.J. Anderson, Mark Ingram, Spencer Ware, Tevin Coleman. C.J. Anderson started off hot last year. I know he burnt you a couple times.
The game he got hurt, the game he got out for the season, he came back in that game and broke that run late. And then then the Monday after, they said he was out for the season. I was pretty sick about it.
Yeah, he must have been shot off that game. C.J. Anderson actually had a solid 5-6 week stretch in the beginning of the season last year before he got hurt. Do you trust him this year? Because that offense has kind of become vanilla. Even though the weapons are still there, it's become vanilla with Trevor Siemian. So.
Yeah, I mean, Booker, and they just didn't they bring and Jamal Charles is there now.
Jamal Charles is there as well, yeah.
But I mean, Jamal Charles shouldn't make that big of a factor. I think they do try to get him the ball, but you know, even if he can go, they're going to limit his touches. Yeah. C.J. Anderson, I'm just not buying it. I was never a big C.J. Anderson guy. I do like the way he runs, but I just don't think that offense is going to be good enough to where he's going to be just used solely him, and I just don't think they're going to be good enough offense. But Siemian, I know Paxton Lynch has been getting hype, but the last couple of weeks there's been bad reports coming in about camp, so I don't know. I'm staying away from C.J. Anderson this year.
Yeah, especially Denver's offense. They play the Chiefs twice a year. They play Oakland, who has a great front seven, twice a year. And they've always had offensive line problems, even in the years they've made to the Super Bowl with Peyton. And the last 2 years alone, their offensive line's getting old. It's not a guy I'm taking a flyer on, especially if there's Ingram, Spencer Ware, and even Tevin Coleman. I think I'm taking a chance on them. How do you think Ingram's value is impacted with the addition of AP?
I mean, they're already saying that Ingram's the pass catcher out of the backfield.
That makes sense, yeah.
AP was never a pass catcher. Everyone knows that. Ingram, I think he's a very underrated receiver, to be honest, out of the backfield. I think they're going to use him a lot more than AP. I actually do have him kind of ranked pretty high just because of that offense. I mean, it's the Saints offense. They should be able to move the ball. You know, it's Drew Brees, unless he gets hurt, which is worst-case scenario for them. But I do like Ingram. I think he's going to have a pretty decent year. I think like 50, 60 catches is like right around where he should be.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to throw the ball a lot, dude. Mm-hmm. He's by himself. I don't think they're going to really use, like I said, AP. He's not going to play third downs. I mean, let's be honest.
With that alone, I mean, if we even, even to bring back C.J. Anderson, for that alone, if you think Ingram's getting 50, 60 catches next year, or this year, I'm sorry. I mean, Jesus.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot, but yeah. I mean, they're going to throw the ball a shit ton. You know the Saints, dude. Drew Brees is going to have around those, 400 or 500 throwing attempts this year again, so we'll see how that goes.
Another team might be playing from behind a lot, too, because their defense is pretty shaky. So Spencer Ware, what are your thoughts on the Kansas City run game?
Kareem Hunt and Charcandrick Weather, I'm just passing on that, dude.
You're going to wait to see how camp goes, how preseason goes.
There's two players I'm touching on Kansas City's offense, and Tyreek Hill and obviously Travis Kelce, who should be the number two rated tight end throughout the board. Behind everyone knows who Gronk, if he can stay healthy. So
we'll talk about Gronk another day. So going into the Vikings running back situation with Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray. I know Latavius Murray's on the pup list. Is Dalvin Cook going to be a nice dark horse right out of the gate, or what are your thoughts on how that offense could perform? Because I think it's going to be more of a, I mean, Sam Bradford broke the completion record last year, but it was more of a dink and dunk scenario.
Benefited from that. So
talk about vanilla offenses, but good. What are your thoughts on Dalvin Cook in his rookie year, especially? Don't forget, he does have fumbling issues coming into the NFL.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, the Minnesota offensive line is awful. Probably a bottom five unit in the league. I do kind of like Cooks, but Latavius, if he can get healthy, that kind of scares me with both of them there. I guess I do like Cooks out of the gate for a little bit, but I think as the year goes on, more and more Latavius gets more involved and Cooks becomes just a regular guy. Running back three flex kind of guy later on in the year.
Yeah, again, just where he's going to be falling, I think you're taking a huge risk on just that whole situation in general. Maybe an early might buy you first couple weeks.
Yeah, a little D'Angelo Williams action.
Exactly, a little D'Angelo Williams action. Mike Gillisley, I know that's your boy. What's his role in the Patriots offense?
Look, man, he's playing the blunt role. You need to draft this guy. That's all I'm going to say. If he's in the blunt role, 10-plus TDs could easily happen.
A nice 17 carries, 60-yard game.
I mean, he's not going to catch with Burkhead and James White there. I don't even know if Deion Lewis is going to make the team. But
That's interesting about Burkhead. They seem to love Burkhead for some reason. Yeah. He's I've never seen him play a significant role in anybody, even when he was on Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, when they first got him, they said Brady was loving him as a dump-down guy, so we'll see how that goes. I think Gillisley comes out of the back to have, though, in that backfield from that trio.
And lastly, to round off 25, Bilal Powell, that's your boy for the Jets. What are your thoughts on him this year in that offense? That offense is in shambles.
If they're splitting 50-50 with Forte, you just got to stay away. That offense is not going to be high-powered enough to make two running back. Well, make one guy relevant. I think if Forte ends up getting hurt, or, like, if Forte looks really old this year, which he did towards the end of last year, Bilal Powell can step up. And with him, I mean, he showed his reception value last year catching the ball out of the backfield. So I think he could be top 24, top 20 back this year. If I think this all depends on Forte, though. If Forte's going to see 50-50 split, I'm just staying away from both.
All right. Well, that wraps up the quarterback and the running back rankings. All right, for this week at least, and again, it's going to change, especially when we see a little dose tomorrow and this week with the preseason games and how camp's going to be turning out. So, lastly, to end the pilot segment of the pilot episode of our first podcast, The Fantasy Fools, remember that name, we're going to give you a little preview of the Battle of the Backs. All right, we're going to talk about Leonard Fournette and that Jaguars situation. I've been reading, that special came out yesterday, he's going to split maybe a three-headed monster between Ivory, Yeldon, and Leonard. Do you believe that, or is that what we like to call gas?
I'm not buying the Chris Ivory hype. I'll buy the Yeldon out of the backfield because Leonard Fournette is not going to catch. But Leonard Fournette is seeing 200, 250 carries. You ain't taking that guy that high and not giving him the ball. And you know they don't want Blake Bortles throwing. Everyone knows that. So, I mean, I'm not buying that, no.
You're not buying it?
No. Fournette's the clear one. No, he's the clear one.
How many carries does Leonard Fournette, you know, barring injury, get week one?
20. 20? I'm giving him
easily
like
20.
Yeah, I'm giving him 20, dude.
And how many does Yeldon get? Is Ivory even
not a lot. Yeldon's going to play pass catcher. He's not going to get a lot. I think Chris Ivory can see, like, 4 or 5 carries a game, maybe, just to give, if they want to run the ball and give Fournette a breather. But I'm not seeing any for Yeldon. I'm seeing all catches for him.
Now, do you trust that Jaguars offense to take Leonard as your RB1?
No.
Absolutely not?
No. Absolutely with Blake Bortles and that offense.
Especially
there,
after that, that tweet you seen the other day.
I mean, it's camp, dude. Plays are going to get blown up. But, I mean, I just don't trust him in that offense, dude. I just don't. I mean, you can get all the carries you want. If you can't make anything out of it, who cares?
I'll tell you what, though, he's an enticing player to look at because the division kind of stinks. But outside of Houston's defense.
I mean, Houston's defense was number one last year.
You're playing Tennessee and you're playing.
I mean, Tennessee's got a pretty good defense, too, dude. They got them like one of the best front sevens in the league on defense. They're going to be solid this year, dude. But I just don't buy it, dude. I'm just not buying it.
Fair enough. All right, so now we're going to move on to the Bengals situation because there's another story that came out recently. Mixon, and this is reported by a beat writer from, I think, Bengals.com. Mixon's going to get 20 touches against the Ravens week one. Do you believe that?
No.
Absolutely not.
I'm not buying that week one. I'll buy him for a season, like, later on. But he's not just going to come in and steal that job. There's no way they don't give Gio Bernard or Jeremy Hill, like, just totally phased him out from the beginning. They'll be phased out slowly, as Mixon will be worked in slowly, and then I'd say by week 5 or 6, you'll see Mixon starting to take a full load.
Yeah, and I always think about when Jeremy Hill first came into the league, they played, I think, the Steelers week one, and they held him out just because it was a division game, and they didn't want to get his morale down, because they said they, and then the next week he had 15 carries. I remember, like, it was yesterday, I had him. So I think that's kind of going to be the same situation, how they're going to treat Mixon. I think they're going to ease him in as well. I think it's going to take till about week 4, week 5, till he gets that 20-25 touches a game. Because apparently he looks incredible in camp right now. So he looks like a stud. And Marvin Lewis has talked nothing but good things about him. So, with that being said, that wraps up our first episode for Fantasy Fools. Again, this is AJ Ferrale is the host that has given you the most information tonight. I'm Jim McCabe. We'll give you our Twitter handles next week and our Twitter feed as well. Again, this is going to be more of a personal. You're going to hear a lot of stuff about our league, situations, trades that's happened. And the following week, you're also going to hear bust, who played the craziest plays of the week and what turned out. And also how people maybe have gotten screwed out on one play or not. So it should be a lot of fun this year. Again, we're going to be doing fantasy football, daily fantasy sports. We're going to do standard PPR, half PPR. And we're going to give you rankings, waiver pickups, the whole shindig, and it should be a lot of fun. So with that being said, have a good day, and we'll see you next week.